WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night. You can tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RackRadioShow, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLive to interact with us live tonight, because chat, we are standing and delivering. While seated comfortably in chairs and stuff.
I don't know. My chair's not that comfy, so I'm not as comfortable as you are, I don't think, but...
Why don't you... Okay, Chad, why don't you have a comfortable chair? I mean, you use it all the time. Why is your chair not comfortable?
Because the chair that I was using broke.
Oh, that would do it.
And yeah, so this is... The chair that I'm using right now is my alternate chair. That I keep in my office in the event that, like, I need to have somebody else in here. And it's not comfortable. Like, I bought something to help with, like, make it better. But overall, it's not, it's an actual office chair. For those of you that don't know, I normally sit in, like, a 1970s accent chair that's, like, nice and, like, deep and wide and really fucking comfortable. And this is in, like, an actual office chair, like, rolling chair, which is better for me than the 1970s chair. But yeah, like the old chair broke, and I have to see if I can get it fixed, which I'm sure it is fixable. I just don't know if it's worth getting it fixed. But I love it so much.
Makes sense.
If I could get a strong enough clamp, I could fix it. That I know.
Okay. All right then.
I'll explain after the show. But yeah, so Brock's comfy. I'm somewhat comfy. Not really. But Here we are. We're here to talk all about Stand and Deliver and news and everything else.
Yes, because Stand and Deliver happened this past Saturday on the YouTubes and Netflix internationally.
Okay, before we get in the show, can I just say I like the fact that it's on YouTube. It's great it's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's easy. We'll talk about it later. There's some questionable things that happened on a YouTube live stream, but we'll figure that one out.
Was broadcast issues one of them? Because there were a lot of broadcast issues at the start.
The black screens. I don't know if that was what it was. I don't know what that was.
I hope that was broadcast issues, because if that was a teaser or if there was like a wardrobe malfunction or something.
I think they were... YouTube's weird. We'll just go with YouTube's weird, because they probably can't risk the slightest of anything. So maybe they were black screening out of precaution. Because that did not seem like... It wasn't broadcast issues, because the sound kept going. And it was very intentional. So I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it was very annoying in the first match. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. We do have news we have to get into. And we do have some stories. Not a lot, but we do have a couple. And then, yeah, we will talk all about Stand and Deliver.
So let's get into news. Let's get into news.
Brought to you by our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And your very first story, in case anybody's interested, uncover the man behind Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan, Real American, an unfiltered documentary featuring Terry Bollea's last interview, premieres on April 22nd.
On the Netflix.
On the Netflix. So go check that out if you're interested. If it's made by the same people who did the Vince doc, I don't expect it to be very kind to Hogan, but we will see. Like, I would actually be curious to watch it just to see what they did in the wake of his death. And if they are very flattering towards him, or if they have a much more sort of like realistic take on him.
I think it's more favorable to him from what I can remember. So I don't remember who produced it. I don't think it was Bill Simmons who did the Vince doc. This is me trying to find out who actually produced it. But I can't at the moment. But the trailer was interesting.
The trailer was interesting.
I don't see anything on who produced it.
Where he basically is like, I know where all the bodies are buried. And it's like, oh, okay.
And it's weird because it's like you hear his, like, the final interviews he did, and like it's like depressing. Because it sounded like he knew, but it's like you don't really know. But when you're talking in certain tones, it's like it's weird.
Like, that he knew they were going to come after him?
No, that he was, like, dying and stuff. It's, like, it's just the tones of how he was, like, you talk about legacy and stuff like that. The way it was framed just came off weird. Like, weird is a terrible descriptor, but that's what it is. It's, like, eerie and stuff. Like, they're talking about their demise and stuff. I don't know. Same thing with the Warrior promo. It just gave that kind of vibe.
Maybe on some weird level they knew.
Yeah, that's kind of my thinking.
Like, they could feel it or something. Although Warrior, I don't know, maybe it's just serendipity. That could just be it.
Like, Warriors was like, he was freaky. Goodbye. It
was like he was fine, and then he was just gone.
Yeah.
Within 24 hours. And so it's like, holy shit. Mm. But this, maybe he had an inkling. Like, here's the thing about Hogan that I don't think anybody really knew. Was what was actually going on with him in terms of his health, right? Because he passed away due to complications, I believe, from surgery.
Yeah.
Is that the official cause of death?
I don't remember the exact cause, but...
Because didn't they say he had cancer after the fact?
I don't remember hearing that.
I could have sworn I saw that somewhere. That could have been a rumor, though, but like that some of his health stuff started to come out. And he was not well. It was either like cancer or heart or something like that. And so there could have been like some kind of inkling that like, hey, time is coming up kind of thing. But we don't know. But it will be an interesting watch.
Leukemia. So yeah, he had cancer.
So that could be where you're picking up on that, is maybe he felt like that was what was going to get him.
Possibly. But I don't know if that's what got him, though. But he suffered a heart attack, and yeah, they revealed it. So who knows? Sometimes you just know.
Sometimes you just know. But yeah, check it out. It will be not live, but it will debut on Netflix on April 22nd. So, you know, if you want to watch, give it a watch. DJ Valentino Khan is back to the DJ booth on both nights of WrestleMania and at WWE World.
So
you know, but check him out.
Go check it out. It should be fun bringing all the jams to the party. Waiting for you to read this next one.
I'm so mad I'm reading it right now. I'm so mad. You don't understand. My parents. Okay, so side chat. It matters. My parents, their 50th wedding anniversary is this June. And so to celebrate, they are going out to Vegas to renew their vows.
Nice.
In June. I could have done it now. Because that would be awesome.
You know, if you're going to say that word, you got to do it as correctly with this promo.
Awesome! So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everybody else, if you're looking to get married or renew your vows, your tag team for life can start right here with the WWE wedding. In celebration of WrestleMania 42, ESPN is turning fandom into forever with the first ever WWE wedding experience in Las Vegas, where WWE superfans step into the ring and become tag teams for life. On April 16th in Las Vegas, up to five couples will say I do in an unforgettable ceremony with WWE superstar The Miz helping couples tie the knot. Featuring WWE-inspired wedding production championship-worthy photo ops with official WWE belts and iconic memorabilia and an exclusive commemorative WWE certificate. You can apply, and you will be selected. I don't think you have to pay for this. This is a contest. It's tagteamforlife.com if you want to apply for this.
Yeah, and it will be at the Viva Las Vegas Wedding Chapel on August 16th from 3 to 5 p.m. PST.
God damn it, that's where they're going! God damn it! Send this to my dad. Like, can you move it up?
You move it up to next week?
No, they would kill me. But yeah, so if you're interested, everybody, go apply and check it out. And if you win, please take pictures and send them to us because I want to see.
No,
because the wedding chapel that you do it at is cool, or they're doing it as cool because they drive you in a pink Cadillac with Elvis.
Nice. Yeah, this will probably be all over social media. We'll get to see all the shenanigans.
But yeah, so congratulations. So wait, is he getting ordained?
I would assume by now he's ordained, yeah.
I mean, it's 5 minutes online, but like.
But I figured it's already happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? He already may have been for something else. You never know.
Honestly, he, as a side hustle, he could make good money. Not that he needs it, but he could make really good money on the side hustle. Also, American Gladiators is getting ready to come out too.
Yep.
He's been out there promoting it like crazy. So, you know, go check that out when you have time. Anyway, AEW, they are heading to West Palm Beach, Florida for Collision Fairway to Hell. That's a weird name. Live from the SoFi Center on May 9th. Early access premium seating starts tomorrow with tickets going on sale on April 13th.
So, Fairway to Hell. So I want you to Google SoFi Center.
It's on a golf course, isn't it?
It's an indoor golf course. He wanted to do like a golf, like a charity golf thing called Fairway to Heaven, and then do the wrestling show as Fairway to Hell.
So wait, are they going to put the ring on top of the green?
I don't know, but they're doing it at an indoor golf course. Because reasons.
How are they going to do this? How are they going to do the setup on this?
They'll figure something out.
There's fucking sand traps. Like, how are they going to do this? Or are they going to do it in the parking lot?
No, it's going to be in the building.
Godspeed, y'all. Godspeed. That's all I got to say on that. Godspeed. Anyway, moving on. TNA has announced their live event schedule for 2026. So, starting on Saturday with Rebellion, they will be in Cleveland, Ohio. And then next week, they will be on the 14th and the 15th. They'll be in Syracuse, New York. In May, on the 14th and the 15th, they'll be in Sacramento. In June, the 6th and the 7th, they will be in Denver. Slammiversary on June 28th will be in Boston. July 1st and 2nd, they're in Albany. July 30th and 31st, hey, Rock, they're coming to Philly. You could be our live in-person correspondent.
Not in that neighborhood.
August 23rd, they're going to Chicago because that's a town that never gets wrestling. On the 27th and 28th of August, they will be in Brampton, Ontario, Canada. September 24th and 25th, they are in San Antonio. October 11th, for Bound for Glory, they will be in Tampa. For October 14th and 15th, it is TBD. So if you want TNA to come to your city, I don't know, email them. November 15th will be in Edmonton, Alberta. Dramatic pause. Canada. And then on November 18th and 19th, they will be in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. December 10th and 11th is TBD. And then finally, to close out the year, on the 17th and 18th of December, they will be in El Paso, Texas.
So they were teasing a bunch of numbers on Twitter for last like two days. It's like, what are they teasing? And it was just them teasing the dates for events. It got kind of locked down of what people thought they were teasing. They were told, oh my God, they're teasing something big. And it's just,
at least events. It got people's attention. I mean, you know.
It did. It got people's attention. But yeah, go to TNAWrestling.com for ticket information as they come to your city, a city near you, for the rest of the year.
Nope. Well, I mean, I got two shots at it. I got TBDs, but they're going to Rock City.
I was talking in general, not yours, and just sitting, not near you, but them, people, listening people, coming to a city near you.
But they're coming to your city.
I know, and I know where they're going in this city. I ain't going to the city.
Are they doing the ECW arena?
No, they're going to Temple.
Yeah, no.
I was close to the ECW arena last night, so.
Did you wave?
No, I didn't get that close. But I was in the general area of it, though. So, anyway, go see TNA Wrestling Live.
Ding! Blame Brents?
Yeah, let's go do the Blame Brents.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulder snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Oh, God, I have to make picks this week, don't I?
Yup.
Oh, no.
Yup.
No, stop messaging while we're doing the show. Anyway, up first is Kyle Fletcher with a meniscus injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He had to give up his TNT championship last night. He'll be out for a couple months. They hope he's back in time for All in London.
Feel better, Kyle. And then Brent just had to do this. He had to. Roxanne Perez and Liv Morgan with a concussion.
Hashtag blame Brent.
So during the backstage scuffle, when Stephanie knocked Liv into Roxanne, they smacked heads. And you saw the big welt on Liv's head afterwards.
I wouldn't call that a welt. That was a goose egg.
So they are in the concussion protocol. And hopefully they'll be cleared in time for WrestleMania, along with Nikki Bella, who is down with an ankle injury. If we blame Brendan before, but hopefully she gets cleared, because everything hangs in the balance for WrestleMania matches based on injury availability. Because if Nikki's not ready, cleared, that means Io and Asuka don't have a match. Because Asuka and Kairi didn't have a match, so Io's out. And they're also teasing a Danhausen match. So a lot of the card still hangs in the balance.
So feel better, everybody. It's WrestleMania. Get your shit together. Let's go. No, seriously, feel better. Don't rush back. Take care of yourselves, please. Would be crazy as if Io gets left off Mania. I'm sure they'll find her something.
If it happens, it happens. It's not like they didn't have a plan. Just injuries.
You can put her in a backstage segment. You can have her go out and do something. I don't know. They'll figure it out. Like, you can have her get involved in Rhea's match. It'll be fine.
Yeah, she'll be a part of the show.
Yeah, she may just not be wrestling. She may just be like a valet or something, but she'll be there.
All right.
So
let's go to break.
Hey, sub. So with that, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about Stand and Deliver. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. It's hard for me to take control, baby.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio news desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio news desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone, go Simpson.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK. In the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and you're listening to Rack Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. For reference over at MBG Films, check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are kicking it old school because we are talking all about NXT Stand and Deliver, which was this past weekend live on the YouTubes, which I was so down.
It was a good show.
It was a good show.
I mean, the internet loved it too. So, you know, it had to be really good if the internet loved it.
Do you feel better?
One night they go 0 point something for a show, and next night 9 point something.
You know. Okay, before we start the review, do you just need to rant? Do you need to let it out? Or are you okay?
No, we ranted about it Saturday. We're good.
We're good. Okay, all right. I just want to make sure that you're good, and that you know you don't need to like have a release or something. No, like
we're good. Let's get into the show.
Is he good, chat? Is he really good? Are we sure?
Yes.
Just need to make sure. All right, let's talk about NXT Stand and Deliver. It was 7 matches, and this was a very fun NXT show. I wouldn't say it was one of the best ones I've ever seen, but it was definitely a very fun, very entertaining show. So we kicked off with a 10-person mixed tag team match where Hank and Tank, Shiloh Hill, EK Prosper, and Rin Sinclair defeated Birthright by pinfall. And Birthright is Lexus King, Channing Stacks Lorenzo, Charlie Dempsey, Uri Conners, and Ariana Grace, aka the Nepo Babies.
I thought the Nepo Babies were going to win.
So did I. I'm kind of surprised they lost.
Me too, because if you're going to establish a faction, you may want to put them over. But they did not.
They did not.
So.
Interesting.
Match was fine.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good match. But we have to talk about the official opener to the show, because this was fantastic. You had a triple threat match for the NXT Women's Championship. Lola Vice, JC Jane with Fallon and Lainey, and Kendall Gray with Rin Sinclair all vied for the title. And this was a great match. I enjoyed the hell out of this.
This was a fantastic match. You can see why there's a lot of stock being put in Kendall Gray at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
She has natural ability that is going to take her places. Oh, and if she can piece it all together, they have a superstar that's going to be good for them for the next decade or so.
I asked Rock this. I was like, how does Kendall have Maxine's gimmick over better than Maxine?
Because she's a natural athlete.
Not even that she's have a natural athlete. It's just like when she went to take down the straps, the crowd freaking popped for her.
Yeah.
And it's like, how are you doing that? And like, Maxine isn't. Like, what is Kendall doing differently? That's what I don't understand.
I mean, there are many things that she's doing differently.
I know.
But it's just one of those things. I believe she has what, an MMA background, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Lola does, but not. I don't know about Kendall.
Oh no, she had the amateur background. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Boops. So she has the natural like wrestling background that gets her, and I think, and the crowd's gotten behind her. Kendall Gray is her name. So she was a former amateur wrestler. So, and she's built the following. She's built her following from Evolve. I think she was in Evolve and then worked her way up. So she, like, the audience has gotten to know her, and she's been like building it. Like, the difference with Maxine was like she's just been a manager and then kind of, you know, kind of trying to be an athlete in the ring. But yeah, there's just natural talent with Kendall. And she put on a hell of a show. JC Jane had a hell of a showing.
Oh God, she looked fantastic. Like, she worked that like crazy.
I thought this was the end of her in NXT, but apparently it's not just yet. They're doing one more match. She's at least doing one more match where she'll be challenging winner of this one, Lola Vice, for the title. Either next week or the week after at NXT Revenge, which is a 2-part endeavor, which I think taping one of them, maybe. Yeah, they're waiting for after WrestleMania, but I didn't think she'd be right back on TV was more the point. Yeah, it was a really good match, really good opener. Honestly, probably the best match on the show, I think.
I would say that's a very strong contender to be one of the strongest matches, if not the strongest match, because everything else was good. But the way that they built this match, especially to the finish, and how they finished this match was really spectacularly done. Even though I feel like they did sort of like forecast who was going to win in Lola just a little bit based on the promos. Because the second she said, like, in the promo, I'm going to be the first Cuban American women's champion in WWE, I was like,
yeah.
And I that's mean, not to knock her at all, but it's like the second she said that, it's like, oh, I know where they're going with this.
But at the same time, she's put in the work and it's a rightfully earned spot. So,
oh, totally.
That's a good thing.
And but the when they put it in the promo package. That's thing.
Well, that's when it's usually what happens. But the last, I think, 3 or 4 minutes of this one was like, they had a really well put together finishing sequence.
Oh my God, it was so good.
Apparently she said it before too.
She said it before, but again, it's when they put it in the promo package. And it's not to knock her because it is a well-earned, well-deserved spot. Like, she proved in this match, she absolutely deserves to be the champion. It's just, again, in the promo package, it was kind of like you saw where it was going. That's all.
But yeah, in the end, Lola Vice, your new NXT Women's Champion.
Much congratulations to her. Well-deserved. I mean, honestly, I could have gone any way on this and would have been okay with it because all three deserve to win.
I agree.
I do find it interesting, though, that JC is, like, emulating Shawn.
With some of her gear choices?
Some of her gear choices, but also some of her mannerisms and the way that she sort of like carries herself and presents herself. You see a lot of Shawn's influence in her.
I mean,
like a lot.
She's been under his tutelage for a couple years now, so it would only make sense.
It's like, oh my God, it's a female Shawn Michaels. That's amazing. But yeah, very, very strong opener to this show. So congratulations to the ladies. They definitely tore it down. To follow this up, and I feel a little bad that they had to follow it, The Vanity Project, Brad Baylor and Ricky Smokes with Jackson Drake took on Los Americanos, which was Bravo and Rayo with El Grande. And The Vanity Project won. This was for the Tag Team Championship, by the way.
Yeah, that's not surprising because the Americanos are not NXT.
No.
But yeah, this was a solid tag match. There's nothing to write home about, but it was entertaining for what it was. You had a lot of staples from what the Americanos usually do, but this was a good chance for the Vanity Project to work with experienced veteran talent like these upstarts under the mask.
That we have no idea who they are.
They're very strong boys, maybe. Who knows?
I mean, they're strong in their style, I feel like.
Yeah, that Mexican strong style.
Mexican strong style, yeah. Honestly, with the Peaky Blinders maybe coming back out, I'm surprised WWE didn't jump on that, but okay. Maybe they're getting ready to, who knows?
Who knows? But yeah, this was a fine match. This did a lot for Vanity the Project to get like their legs under them and kind of establish themselves as champions.
Yeah. Definitely. It was a solid, good defense for them.
Yes.
So moving on, we have the grudge match of Sol Ruka taking on Zarya. This is the dissolved friendship between the two where it broke down. We had betrayals. We had tears. We had screaming. And we had a hell of a match between these two.
Hell of a match. Zarya's strongest showing in the singles capacity that I've seen in NXT. But no, it was her strongest showing to start that I've seen in a long time. I thought the final 3-4 minutes were really impressive. I thought Sol Ruka looked really strong. But I also thought this was the finish of the story.
Apparently not.
Apparently not, because Zarya attacked Sol Ruka on NXT. So they're probably doing one more match to finish it. But no, I liked the finish. I thought there were some really good near falls towards the end. Like, Zarya could have had her beat, but Sol found a way to get out of things. But the last few minutes were really solid, really strong. And the Sol Snatcher is a really amazing move that I hope she can hit for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Because that's going to take a toll on your body at some point.
Yeah, hopefully she can maintain it. Or at the very least, they may have to just, like, cut back on it just a little bit just to, like, help save her some.
Yeah, but this was really good. I thought this would be the blow-off, and it was not. And that's kind of my biggest complaint about the show, that everything felt like it was the conclusion because this is supposed to be the biggest show of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing ended up being the end.
No.
That's my biggest complaint. NXT Stand Deliver should have been like the end for some people, and it's just, now this can't be the end because we still have 2 more weeks of TV, 3 more weeks of TV that we need them for. So that's my biggest criticism of the show, and it's not like the in-ring aspect, it's creatively coming out of it. It's like, I thought this was the end. It is not the end. But it was good. Again, Sol Ruka was, and it makes sense. Now it makes sense because we talked about last week why Zarya didn't win if they're running it back one more time.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good
yeah,
match.
Yeah, they'll give Zari the win here, and then they'll, or on the next one, and then they'll have Soul leave.
Yeah, really good match.
Which puts them past Mania.
Yeah, because it's NXT Revenge over the next 2 weeks of TV.
Which makes sense why it's not the end, because the end is coming with vengeance.
No, revenge. No, vengeance is a different day. Get it?
They can't. Yes, I get it. But they can't have multiple revenge shows. They just can't do it. It gets confusing. Up next, we have Miles Bourne defending his North American Championship against Johnny Gargano with Candice LeRae at ringside. This was a really good showing for both, all three.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a good match. I've seen better Johnny matches.
Oh, yeah.
I feel, character aside, I feel like Johnny's taking a step back a little bit.
It's hard to say because I don't know how much of himself he was putting into this. Like, he was trying, and he was definitely trying to have a good match with Miles, but you could tell that he was not necessarily pushing himself in a way that we have seen him push in the past. And that was sort of key, because it's like, and I think that in part has to do with the character, that the character is sort of like lost and kind of just not into anything, not feeling anything, and just doesn't know what's going on, and is stuck, right? Is in a rut. And so he's not as willing to go into fourth gear as what he would be in the past. At least that's the copium I'm taking on this. I don't know if it's accurate, but that's the copium. I would like for them to find Johnny something to do with a better character. Like, I kind of wonder where the magic went with Johnny in particular. Was it always just Johnny and Tommaso, and that was the magic? And without Tommaso, there is none?
Maybe, but because his partner left. And Johnny's trying to find what's next, and he's been doing this depressed angle and stuff like that.
I don't know if it's working. Like, I think the act of him lying face down on stuff is working. Like, I think that's getting over, but I don't know if the gimmick on the whole is getting over.
Yeah. He needs to figure out what he is before too long, because at some point that leads to chopping block.
Yeah. Like, he's sort of adrift right now, and that's fine because it works for the character. But at the same time, like, it's not taking him anywhere. It's not doing anything for him. And so they have to figure that out. They have to get him in a place where he's good to go. Like, they have to. That's how this has to work. Otherwise, it's going to be bye-bye, Johnny. Like, that's just sort of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was a solid match. Again, better Johnny Gargano matches. This will help Miles Bourne grow as he continues his run as North America champion.
Yes. So I think it was more to get Miles over than anything else, but we'll see where this leads to. Up next, for the Women's North American Championship, we have Tatum Paxley defending against Blake Monroe. This was fun.
Yeah, I thought this was a really good match. Again, they had a great finishing sequence at the end. Tatum has vastly improved over the last, I would say, 8 to 12 months. She's working a lot stronger style with some of the topper talent in NXT. I thought Blake Monroe had a really good showing. Yeah, they worked really well. So
they told a good story. They were very physical. This was a nice come up for the main event, and they both looked really strong coming out of it.
I think both deserve to get pulled up to the main roster in the next 6 months.
Yeah, I would second that. I would definitely second that.
But Tatum retained.
And Tatum retained. Kind of in a surprise, but Tatum retained. And your main event, Tony D'Angelo, Ricky Saints, Ethan Page, and say his name and he appears, Joe Hendry, give it a minute, we're in a fatal four-way match.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry.
We're in a fatal four-way match for the NXT Championship. This was fun. I enjoyed watching this tremendously. There was wonderful chemistry throughout this match. The one thing on Tony is with the beard, he looks like somebody else. Not going to say the name, but he looks like somebody else. And I was like taken aback for a moment. I was like, holy shit.
No, say the name.
He looks like Boo Boo. He resembles Boo Boo.
He has a little bit of Bray Wyatt in him, yeah.
Like, it's kind of uncanny how much he looks like him. And I was like, am I seeing things? Am I like that deprived at this point without him that like I'm just making things up in my brain? But no, he does. There is a resemblance there, especially with the very long, like, structured beard that kind of Bray had at the end. So, yeah. But, like, I thought this match was very well put together. I thought it was fun as hell. Four ways can be really tricky.
They can be very tricky. So, one thing I learned about this match is that they need to stop.
Okay.
Spear. Spear. Mm-hmm. Spear. Spear. Over. And over. And over. Ah, there was a lot of spears. And Sean wasn't there. So, yeah. We need to cut down on them. Just a tad. Kind of ruins the move.
Yeah, it does ruin the move. But no, I think I don't really have a lot of criticism of the match. I thought it was good. Like, they kept you in suspense the whole time on who was going to win.
Yeah,
You had weird alliances.
Yeah, because Ricky and Ethan had been working together for a few weeks. And then, well, towards the end, they were like, yeah, no. And before they really got in their big brawl, Spear. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Spear through the table. Yeah. And then Joe Hendry. Oh, no, I said his name.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry.
But, yeah, surprised he took the fall. I thought it would have been one of the other two, but here we are.
Here we are.
It was a good main event.
I thought it was a really nice presentation for NXT as a brand. Full respect to all four men involved in this match. Joe Hendry is still over as hell, which I commend him on. I would not be surprised if he does not go up.
Yeah, he's another one. I think they won it up, but also CW wanted him as well. So you can't make every partner happy. You got to spread the talent around a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I expect him to be a SmackDown superstar at some point.
Yeah.
You can kind of
balance Danhausen with Joe Hendry.
It's not even, I mean, kind of, but at the same time. Okay. Just going to throw the scenario out there.
Okay.
So, a year ago at WrestleMania, mm-hmm. one Randall Keith fought somebody. And say, when Randall Keith wins said WWE championship at WrestleMania a week from Saturday, that following, just say he does win, right?
Okay, hypothetically, our favorite word on this network, hypothetically.
Just hypothetically, if he were here to win, you kind of need a new program for Randall. And, you know, why not do Randall versus him?
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry.
It's always so weird watching it on the stream when we're broadcasting because we have the delay.
The delay on the stream, like, for it to pop up.
The delay on the stream because it's like the claps come and then 2 seconds later the video plays it. It's always so weird. Hi, welcome in, first time chatter. Okay, I will counter you.
Yeah.
Hypothetically. Say his name and he appears, wins Money in the Bank.
I mean, he could do that too. I just think as a, like, the SmackDown after Mania surprise, Joe Hendry pops up in a Randy segment.
He could, and I would be down for that. I just don't know if I want him to go for the title so soon, and I don't want him to lose. Like, the thing with Hendry is you have to be very careful because it's sort of almost like a Damian Sandow situation where Sandow got the gimmick over, but it was very, very, very contingent on him sort of like being him. And the second he lost the Money in the Bank, he never recovered. And they tried, but they could never get him to recover. And that was their own fault that they killed the gimmick and they killed the character and everything else. So I don't want to see them do that to Hendry. I would rather them be very, very, very cautious with him and sort of build that up and build his momentum back up into sort of like a fervor. So when he wins, it's a very monumental moment because it will be a monumental moment. Like, think about where Hendry started and where he is now and that climb and all the work that he has put into it. Like, it's a wonderful story that they could tell.
Yeah, but they could just do a surprise. And hey, you know what they need? Because we talked about it right before the show started. As we were running down our calendar.
Mm-hmm.
There does need to be a match for Backlash.
You know, you could just do the return on Cody versus Randy.
You could. Or you could do Say His Name and Randall Keith. You never know.
RKO out of nowhere.
A Say His Name out of nowhere. It writes itself. I don't know. I could just see him popping up and appearing on it, though.
Oh, I could totally see that happening. Like, that's how they bring him up.
Yeah.
And that would be fine. And they need, because, like, here's the thing. With the summer coming, I don't know how in Randy is. That's something to consider. Because Randy typically goes on vacation in the summer. We don't know how like, what he's going to do.
If
they put the title on him, so.
He's around.
He's around? Okay. Because it's like, the surprise could be that Hendry beats Randy at Backlash.
I mean, it could be, but he's on the poster for Italy, so he's at least going to Italy.
Let's go! Wait, could you do the pasta class with him?
You could, probably, maybe. I don't know.
That would be amazing.
Anyway, that was Stand and Deliver.
That was Stand and Deliver. Again, it was a very good show. It was very entertaining. It was not probably the greatest show I've ever seen.
No,
but it was certainly entertaining.
It was an entertaining show. It lacked the feel of their biggest show of the year because it wasn't in a building that made it feel like it was. This was in St. Louis. It was in a different building than the Performance Center. But it missed the grand scale of a bigger arena for their biggest show of the year. That's my biggest takeaway from it. It didn't feel like the big event. It felt like a bigger episode of NXT with really great wrestling, but it missed that feel of being around Mania. It needs the big arena feel. And if they just built a bigger arena, got to a bigger arena for it in general, and it doesn't have to be on WrestleMania weekend. It needed the big arena feel to make it feel bigger for what they were calling it. But it was a really good show overall, and I also know why they didn't do the bigger arena, because ticket sales and stuff. And because they were not, and this plays a big part in it, they ran the smaller venue because of ticket, and because they were not being, there was no money funneling in for the show, because it was a YouTube show.
Yeah.
Yes, they get the NXT international market for Netflix, but that's just included. They're not making additional money off it, so... Running the smaller venue, which is bigger than the Performance Center, but still not like, you know, a general purpose arena, made sense, because this was probably not this probably broke even. It was not making the money back.
Yeah, like the key with NXT is it is another way for them to generate revenue on a fairly simple scale, because they already have the people there. They're already training. They're already wrestling. It helps give them TV experience, which is a bonus for WWE. And they can make money on it because they can have the content distributed by networks or on broadcast, and they get paid for that. And then when it was on Peacock, they got a little bump for that. Like, so there is a product there for them to essentially sell. But because the product is not on like any type of pay-per-view provider or any type of streaming service beyond them just having it on YouTube, they are not making money off of that unless they're getting it through YouTube through some sort of partnership.
It was Google Ads. That's how they made their money off of that one.
Okay, so Google Ads. So yeah, so they made some profit there, but they aren't... The old days of them renting a 20,000-seat arena for NXT are gone. They're never going to do that again, no matter how much we want them to do that. Those glory days are gone. So
no, they will when it's in conjunction with something.
Yeah, but just NXT on its own.
No, for standalone events, no. They're going to be in 2,000 to 5,000-seat arenas.
Which, honestly, that's bigger than the Performance Center, so that's fine.
Oh, yeah, it was like, fine. But again, for the grand scale of what the biggest show, you needed a grander setup, in my opinion.
I don't know. It didn't bother me one way or another, because I wasn't really paying attention to the building. Because it's like, for NXT, you're used to seeing it in that type of format, so it's not like it's awful.
No,
would I love to see it in front of a 10,000 crowd stadium? Sure.
But it was missing elements. There was no LED boards or anything around the ring. It was very low scale.
Everything is being given to WrestleMania. It's all in Vegas. They're not going to send it to St. Louis.
No, it was all... here's the thing. It all was in St. Louis. Because SmackDown the night before was in St. Louis. That's why.
No, I promise you all that stuff was already on the way to Vegas.
No,
they load those trucks up and they send those trucks out.
No, nothing is in Vegas yet. Ring stuff is not in Vegas yet. Because guess what? They don't even get to the building until Monday.
Well, that's typical because they have to build the set, so it takes them a week to build the set.
No, usually they're in 2 weeks before. But there's a concert this weekend.
Oh.
Because remember, they were late to get the building.
I hope it works out. I'm sure it will. Like, I'm sure they'll just...
They'll be fine.
Because, like, here's the thing. They have all the set pieces from last year. So, worst case scenario, they just, like, use a modified version of what they did last year, and they just set that up.
Or they just pay people extra to work longer hours. That's how that's going to go.
They get more people.
Yeah, you get more people, pay more people. Yeah, it'll be fine. But anyway, I think that's our show.
That is our show. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
WrestleMania week coverage begins this Saturday. CB Radio, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Subway and Rob will give their expert picks for WrestleMania. We're going to have an Excalibur challenge Saturday, CB Radio, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday, a full preview of Russell Talk Radio of WrestleMania, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk things Monday Night Raw on the Raw Post Show. When Raw ends, we're live to talk about it. Next Thursday night, we're back live to preview WrestleMania. And a week from Friday... Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I don't do my picks live. They pull them out of me the day of.
Yeah,
kicking and screaming.
Brent, just ask Brent for updates. He'll give you what her picks are. And a week from Friday, we'll be live around 10 p.m. Eastern. WrestleMania simulations of WrestleMania. We'll take you into the Hall of Fame. It's kind of the deal. A week from Friday. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com. So it's Wild Talk Radio. It's Rec Radio Show. On all social media podcasts. Podcast platforms. Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. Not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button. Load a screen. You can use credit card Rock and Sock or
Vince M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store when you go to Infinity and beyond, with Toy Story appearing tomorrow in Fortnite. Yep, that's a thing. Because we are.
Yep. Hashtag every partners. I can't wait to get dunked on by a 13-year-old with Buzz Lightyear. Let's go. Anyway, you can follow me on most of the social medias at LensWard, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/LensWard. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SummaLensWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, LensWard0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, head over to Matt's channel, MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell Matt we said hi. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Remember, it is WrestleMania Pick'em, so bring snacks and drinks and stuff, because it's going to be a long one. So, night, y'all. Take care. Bye. Bye, sub. Fill my pockets till they stuff so they fit like this.
WildTalkRadio.com.